Okay, let's get started with Baba Metzia, Dav Yud Dalet. Yud Dalet, as we continue here in Perek Shnayim Ochsin, the first Perek of Maseches Baba Metzia, and we have issues of Metzia, issues of lost items, and now we are in the sugyas of lost shtaros. The last 5, 6 blot, 7 blot of the first Perek is all about lost shtaros. Remember, we had the Mishnah back on Dav Yud Beis and Beis, with the Mishnah quoted in Machlokas Tanaim, which we are still discussing. Machlokas Tanaim was between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir holds that if shtar chov was found, right, the question is, do I return a shtar? A shtar says that Reuven owes Shimon money. And if I return it to Shimon, then Shimon's going to be able to collect. But maybe Reuven paid already. But maybe Reuven didn't pay yet. So what do I do? Right? You can't just say, Yehei Munach, leave it, just to be safe. But to be safe to one person is to cause a loss to the other person. So what is the halacha? So we had a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says that if the shtar has achrayis nechasim, if it has written in it that there are shibudim, that if the lovek cannot pay up, then his fields, his karka, are meshubit to the malva, and therefore, let's say he had sold property in the interim, then the malva could go to those lakuchos, to those buyers, and take the property. If there is such a stipulation of security, then lo yaksir. So then he can't give it back. Why? Because, as we'll see, then Bezin might collect from there, and that it might be paid up already. So you just can't just give it back. Bezin nifron mehen. But if it doesn't have achrayas nechasim written there, so then you can give it back, as we'll see. Rabbi Meir's opinion is, and we saw it yesterday's daf, that there's no problem, because if it doesn't have achrayas nechasim, Bezin's not going to allow it to be collectible at all from any property, even from property that the lova still has. So Rabbi Meir says you can give it back, no problem. Why would you give it back? Because you might want to use it as a cover for your bottle, says the Gemara. Right, something basic. They didn't have bottle caps in those days. They didn't have corks. So you use it for the cover of the bottle. That was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir had a chiluk between if the shtar has achrayas nechasim written in it or not. And the Rabbanan say no. The Chum say benkach uvenkach, no matter what, you cannot return it. Because Bezin's going to nifra, or Bezin's going to pay back from it. And therefore, even if there is no achrayas nechasim, it might be parua. It might be paid up. And therefore, you cannot pay back with it. And we have 3 shitas. We had 3 comments of the Amoraim for explaining this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Shmuel and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara already discussed Rabbi Lazar, and now we're up to Shmuel. We're going to start on the third line on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. That's what we're going to start with. The Gemara just spoke about how the Gemara brought a Brisa up on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Brisa was against Rabbi Lazar on 2 counts. And now we are up to Shmuel. Third line. Tziufta de Shmuel Betarti. Shmuel's comment explaining our Mishnah is against the Brisa in 2 ways. What was Shmuel's comment? So we have to remember that. That was on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Shmuel's comment was 6 lines up from the bottom on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Shmuel had said that Rabbi Meir holds that a shtar chov that does not have achrayis nechasim is not collectible at all. Bezin will not collect from even Bnei Chorin. Right, if it doesn't have achrayas nechasim. So that's against the Brisa, because the Brisa said mefurish otherwise. So now let's go back. Tiyuvta de Shmuel betarti. Chada k'Rebbe Lazar. Number 1, the same problem that we mentioned on yesterday's daf was the problem with Rebbe Lazar. Tehauki masnison, because Shmuel interprets the Mishnah like Rebbe Lazar did, yesterday's Rebbe Lazar, b'she'ein chayamoda, that the Mishnah, the Machlokes, is about when the Lovet does not agree that the shtar is a collectible shtar. That's how we understood the Mishnah. And we said that Shmuel holds that a shtar chov that doesn't achrayis nechasim, you never return it at all, and that's not what we had interpreted the Mishnah like based on the Brisa. So basically the same problem we had yesterday with Rabbi Lazar is the problem with Shmuel, because he also interprets the Mishnah like Rabbi Lazar. But V'chada, the unique problem with Shmuel is as follows. To Amar Shmuel, because there's something else Shmuel says. Motza shtar chov hakna'a bashuk. If you find a shtar hakna'a. So remember yesterday's daf, shtar hakna'a does not mean a shtar kinyan, as hakna'a usually means. Shtar hakna'a means where the love is mishabed his property, that even if the loan does not take place, I'm already mishabed my property. So there's no worry that, oh, maybe the loan never took place, because he already signed and the Edom signed it. So matzah shtar hakna'a bashuk, if somebody finds a shtar hakna'a in the shuk where he already leaned his property, even without the milveh, yachzer l'baalim. Shmuel says you give it back. because what's the danger? Falochashina and Lipiron. You don't have to be worried that it was never a loan in the first place because it's a Shtar Haknoah. He's Meshabin himself even if there is no loan. And we're not worried about Piron that it was paid up. Why? Because Shmuel assumes that if it was paid up, the Lover would have ripped it up right away. And the fact that it is whole on the ground, it must have fallen from the Malva, and therefore, it can be returned. So Shmuel says you can return it because you're not worried it's paid up. Tiyufta. And that's Akasha from the Braisa. Tiktani Hacha, because the Braisa said, remember the Braisa in the middle of yesterday's Amid Beis, Afal Pi Shashnei Amodim, Lo Yachzer, Lo Lazeh, Velo Lazeh. Even if they both admit that it is collectible now, then you're not allowed to return it. Why? Because maybe the lover really paid up, but they want to, they're in cahoots, right, kenunya, to get money from one of the lekuchos that Reuven had sold his property to. So therefore, you can't return it at all. But 1 minute, I thought we're not worried about Piron. So Alma Chayshinun lePiron. So you see from the Braisa that we are worried that it's paid up already. V'kol Shegeinacha. And surely in our Mishnah, Delo Mod Delove, where the Love is not Mod the Chayshinun lePiron. So the Braisa is against Shmuel. No answer is given. Just Shmuel's interpretation of the Mishnah is difficult. Shmuel is one of the most colorful Amoraim that we have throughout Shas. Shmuel was a Bucky in many areas, and he's known as a Bucky in many areas that many other Amoraim were not. Obviously he was an expert doctor. Shmuel is known, right, the first parak in Ksubis, Bucky Bataya, but he was an expert, in many areas. He's referred to as the doctor in Shabbos, Mem Aleph, Ksubis, and elsewhere. He was, we'll have later on, Bamitziah Daf Pehe, we'll have that he was the doctor of Rebbe. He was doctor of Rebbe, and, right, Rav and Rebbe were the same, Rav and Shmuel were the same generation before Rebbe, and he was not only a Bucky Berifua, he was a Bucky in astrology and astronomy. The Gemara has various Gemaras about that. The Gemara quotes the end of Brachas, Daf Nun Ches or so. Nehirin li, Shmuel says, Nehirin li shvili dirakia kishvili dinaharda. I know this pathways of the heavens like I know the pathways of my own town, Naharda. Right, we like to quote that from Shmuel, from Shlomo Zalman, how every word of the Gemara teaches me something. The Gemara doesn't just say, I know the pathways of heaven. I know the pathways of heaven like I know the pathways of my own street. Why? Because of the other Chachma that we just mentioned. He was a doctor. He was an EMT. So there's a chiv on every Hatzalah member to know the streets of your own neighborhood, because you have to know how to get there the fastest. So that's what the message is. Every line, I know the pathways of heaven, like I know the pathways of my community, because I know that. Because I'm a doctor, and I live before the generation of Waze and GPS. So I need to know that, says Shmuel. And he was a Bucky in many other areas. Obviously, he was a Bucky Bedini Mamanus, right? The way we paskin like Shmuel. Halacha Kishmuel Bedini, because he was a Bucky. And there's other statements in the end of the Sefer Chakiros, which is a big fat Sefer put out by one of the Avrichim, I think, from Osadarav, from Merkaz Arav. See, he at the end of one of the volumes, he puts together Lishitasos of all the Amoraim. So there he mentions all of these Chachmas of Shmuel, and he also says that Shmuel is very focused also on Olam Hazeh. He's not just into the Ruchnias, but there's Kedusha in astrology, in astronomy, in medicine, and it's Shmuel's the one that says in Sanhedrin, Ein bein Olam Hazeh lo Olam Haba, el Shibin Malchias Bilvad. What's going to change when Mashiach comes, first stage? Just Shibin Malchias, we're not going to be persecuted, but we're going to live in this world. Right, because there's much value to this world as well. But again, it's a little bit about Shmuel. Remember, he's not called Reb Shmuel, just Shmuel. He's busy taking care of people, being a doctor, and that is a couple of the ideas relating to Shmuel. Again, every Amore, if you put together all of his Lishitasos, their Lishitasos, it would be interesting to see. Okay, let's continue now. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says as follows, 10th line, 12th line. My time is Rabbanan. So what is the reason for the Rabbanan? Which Rabbanan are we talking about? That is not clear. The Ritva strongly says it's the Rabbanan of the Mishnah. That's what we're talking about. We also had a Rabbanan of the Braisa, but the Ritva assumes, and he explains why, we're talking about the Rabbanan of the Mishnah. So what do the Rabbanan of the Mishnah say? If you find a Shtar, you can never return it. Can never return it. Even if it does not have a Chayis Nechasim. Even if it's like a milva alpe, right? It just doesn't have the security of karka written. Why? So why can't you return it? Savri achrayas ta sofer who? Shmuel says, could the Rabbanan hold that achrayas, what does achrayas here mean? The lack of achrayas. If achrayas is not recorded in the shtar, it is a mistake of the scribe. It is a ta sofer, meaning it should be there. It's automatic. Achrayas ta sofer is another way of saying achrayas is automatic. And therefore, even if it's not written there, it's as if you found a shtar that has achrayis nechasim. Therefore, if you give it back, Bezin's going to use it to collect from even buyers of property, and then you can't do that. Maybe it's paid up already. And therefore, because achrayis is still a sofer, you cannot return it. There is a machlokas we've shown him here. How automatic is it? How automatic is achrayis to a sofer? Is it that we assume the malva and the lova agreed to it and the scribe messed up? Do you take the phrase literally? It's a toss of the sofer because they must have mentioned it for him to write, but he just forgot to record it. Or is it even more than that? Even if the malva and the lova never mentioned it and they never told him to write it, still it's automatic. So that's a machlokas. The Nemuki Yosef says, quoted, it's not the Nemuki Yosef here, it's Nemuki Yosef elsewhere, says that we assume that the sofer made a mistake because the malva and the lova must have mentioned it and he didn't write it. But that is not what Rov Rishonim say. Rov assume, the Rashba quotes that day and says it's wrong. No, it's even if they didn't say a word about it. Achrayis to a sofer doesn't really mean to a sofer. It means achrayis is a toss of the whole case. The lova, the malva, they all. Right, Pirish, af al pi, says the Rashba, shalo nizkar shom achrayis klal, velohes kiruhu afilu malve velove. And he brings a raya from a couple of lines from now, which we will see. This is what the Rashba says, this is what the Ritva says, but it's against the Deya elsewhere that says that no, it's not automatic. It's automatic, you assume that they discussed it and agreed to it, and the sofer forgot. But let's say you knew for sure that they did not agree to it. The Malveh, the Lovet never agreed to it. Then you would not say Achrayis to a sofer. Take the words literally. Achrayis is the toos of the sofer. That is one issue in the Rishonim. The Achronim bring up another issue on this line of Achrayis to a sofer. We know the second to last daf in Baba Basra, Be'ez Hashem, that comes up next summer, has the sugi of Shibuda. Shibuda d'Oraisa, Shibuda d'Rabanan. The concept of shibud, if I borrow money from you, then my property is lien to you, is connected to you. If you hold shibud d'oraisa, ask the achronim, then what's the issue of toss sofer, not toss sofer? Forget the whole thing. Really, all shibudim is automatic from the Torah. By a milveh al peh, we say, well, you know, people don't know about it, how it's not fair to them. They're going to buy property. There's no way, there's nothing recorded for them to know how much money this person owns. So if it's a shtar, there's a kol, and they know about it. But if it's a milveh al peh, you can't fault the buyers. So there's a takana that there's no shibud by a milveh al peh. But the default is shibud are automatic. So what do you even have to get into the issue of toss over, not toss over, so it's not recorded? But there's still a concept of shibudim. So the Achronim asks, so the Shar HaMishpat, quoted here in the Biur Hadaf, L'shem ma nitzrach din achrayis to a sofer, halo nifsak sheshibud chal min ha-Torah, machmas halva, v'rak chachamim bitlu es ha-shibud memil v'alpeh, michshash lehefzer alakuchos, kidem sheinim yodim ala alva. But why? What do you have to worry about that it's recorded, not recorded? It's automatic from the Torah. So you have to say, says the Shar HaMishpat, if we were to look up that Gemara, the end of Baba Basra, we would see Shmuel holds shibud alav d'oraisa. So Shmuel talking here. So if you hold Shibud is Drabanan, maybe that's one answer why you would have to say this here. The whole issue of Achrayis to a sofer only gets off the ground if you say Shibud Alav Da'oraisa. On a Da'oraisa level, there's no concept of my property all being connected to you. There's a Shibud Aguf, not a Shibud Nechasim. But if you hold Shibud Da'oraisa by Shibud Nechasim, then you wouldn't say that. That's one idea. The Chazon Ish, though, holds differently. He said, no, you see from this Gemara, it doesn't sound like it's limited, that even if you say shibud d'oraisa, it could be that it's only if the loveh, you know, buys into it. If he agrees to the shibud, then the shibud is chal d'oraisa. But it still might not be automatic in that sense. That's an important discussion of shibudim related to this issue of achrayis to a sofer. Okay, so let's get back to the Gemara now. So, Amar Shmuel, my time at the Rabbanan. So why did the Rabbanan say that you can never return a shtar if you find it on the street? Because it's going to be collectible, even from the kuchos, because achrayis to a sofer. Amar le Rav bar Isi, Rav Idi bar Avin, umi Amar Shmuel hachi. Does Shmuel say this, that achrayis is to a sofer, that it's automatic? If Amar Shmuel, doesn't Shmuel say, shevach shvar v'shibud, tzarech li malech? What does that mean? If a sofer, Rashi explains this, if a sofer is about to write a shtar, tzarech limalech, you see the Rashi, tzarech limalech b'mocher sadele chaveiro. He's writing a shtar about a sale of a field that somebody sells to their friend. Lishaele menu, you have to go to the seller and say, do you accept that if this turns out to be stolen property, that you're going to give him back, you know, your achrayas to pay back when the nigzal takes it? And do you agree to pay back any shevach? Any appreciation of the field? And do you also agree to pay? May Idis, Shvar is the Idis. Do you agree to all that? So Shmuel says, all those questions the sofer has to ask before he writes it in the shtar. Shvach, Shvar, Vishibud, Sarech Limalech. The sofer has to ask. So what do you see from there? You have to ask. That means it's not automatic. Kasha on Shmuel. Shmuel just said, Achrayis to a sofer, but what do you mean? Sarech Limalech means it's not automatic. You have to ask. Says the Gemara, Lema man to Amar ha, lo Amar ha? Shall we say the one who said this did not say this? Who's the this and who's the that? Says Rashi, shall we assume that it's two different later Amoraim in the name of Shmuel? Says the Ritva, I don't like that pshat, because here it's Shmuel talking himself. There's nobody quoting Shmuel. So that's Rashi, but the Ritva says, no, it doesn't mean, shall we say that it's two Amorim in the name of Shmuel. Shall we say that earlier Shmuel is not giving his own Shita, he's just explaining the Shita of the Rabbanan. What's the reason for the Rabbanan? Achrayas to a sofer. Doesn't say that's his Shita. This Shita now, of Tzorach Limalech, that's his Shita. That's what the Gemara is asking. Manda Amar Ha, lo Amar Ha. The Ritva quotes Rashi, Pirish Rab, I'm sorry, that's the other one. And he quotes, Pirush Rashi Zal, to Amoroi Ninu Aliba de Shmuel. Demanda Amar Ha Mishmei de Shmuel, lo Amar Ha, velo Nehira. She lo huskar shum Amora be'echan mehen. Umoreinu Piresh, le mahad Rabbanan v'had de Shmuel. Klamar de Kamaisa Pirusha, the time of the Rabbanan, he v'le lo sfirale. Okay, 2 days, Machlokas Rashi Ritva, what does this line mean? Does it mean 2 days within Shmuel, or one Shmuel and one's the Rabbanan? So, says the Gemara, le mahad Amar Ha, lo Amar Ha. Answer, no, you do not have to say it is a machlokas. Lokasha, kan, bishtar halva'a, delo yahiv inish zuzi bichti. There's a difference. What type of shtar are we talking about? By halva'a is automatic, achrayas to a sofer. If I lend you money, I am not getting anything instead. I'm not getting anything back. So if I'm not getting anything back, I don't throw my money away for nothing. So I expect my money to come back. So that's why achrayas is automatic. I wouldn't give it to you without that automatic security. So lozazi, that's by a shtar, milveh. But kan b'mekach u'memkar, but by a sale, z'ovid inish, d'zoven ara liyomei. Sometimes people will buy something even if they know they're only going to have it temporarily. I buy it from you, so is there achrayas that if this turns out to be stolen land, it's going to be taken from me? So it's not automatic. If we talk about it, fine. But if not, we might say that there's an umdana, even if I only have this for 2 days. Right, it's still okay. Right, remember the Gemara in Brachas, Chav Zayin. Right, Rav Elazar ben Azariah says to his wife, when his wife says, oh, you might be fired tomorrow, why do you want to become the chief rabbi? He says, better to be a glass cup for one day than to be an earthenware kli all my life. You know, if I can have it for one day, it's also okay. It's also worth something. So here too, says the Gemara, there's no automatic achrayas. That's the difference between the two statements of Shmuel. Similar to the following, Ki yahi davu abari. Like Avu Avari Zavin Alisa Me'achse, he bought a second story of a building from his sister. His brother and sister were business associates. Asa Balchov Tarfamine. And the Balchov of his sister came and took the land, took the house the upstairs from him. Asa Lekami Dibar Shmuel, he goes to Shmuel, he's like, what's going on here? My sister owes me. Amar Le, Shmuel says, Kasa Lecha Achrayis. Did she write Achrayis to you? Amar Le, lo. He says, no. Amar Le, he says, M.K. Zola Shlomo, go have a nice day. Right, because if achrayis was not written, and this was a shtar mikne, it wasn't a shtar milve, and therefore that it's not automatic, and that's Shmuel lishitaso. Amar lei v'hamar hu damar achrayis to a sofer hu. But didn't I, Shmuel? I came to you because I knew you all that achrayis to a sofer. Amar lei hani mili b'shtari halva, avo b'shtari mekachu memkar lo tovin inish tozavin ara liyomei. So this isn't just a raya; it's Shmuel himself talking. The Gemara had suggested maybe this is Shmuel, and according to the story, mamish. It's the favorite Shmuel. It's not just a raya that Shmuel might hold that way. It's an actual story. Interesting, the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah, when we say achrayas to a sofer, and there is automatic achrayas, does that go for property that will be bought afterwards, right? We know it's property that exists now. But how far do you go? Says the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Yud Beis and Ochosh Mishpat. Ein Balchov Torifim B'Shabdi, El Imkein Hayu Nechasim Lolove, B'Shah Shelava U'Machram, Onesana Machar Kach. The only property that belonged to the Lova at the time of the Milva, do we say, is subject to the Shibud. Avalim Kanum Achar Shelava U'Machram. This is what we usually grow up with thinking, that if the Loveb gets property, buys property after the loan, so who says that's automatically meshubid to the original Malveh? Loan ishtabdu lebal chovo. Ve'ena gova osa mehalakuchos. No, only property that he had at the time of the Milveh is meshubad to the Malveh. But anything that the Loveb might buy afterwards, not true. It's not like what we say in the Ksuba. Right, when the man says to the wife, anything that I get, the asad ani lemiknei, right, I feel beglimit al kaspoi. That's beferish in the ksuba. But is that automatic in a regular star? The machaber says no. Says the Rama, I think it is included. V'yesh omrim, kivan, this is the Rama now, kivan to kaibal an achras to a sofer who, kol ma sheroi lishtabed, amrinan be to a sofer, v'yafilu da'akne nami. Even what is going to be purchased by the lova afterwards, it's still miyu im kasabo mitzas achrayus uba velo pirish bo daakne. If you wrote it beferish and you did not say dasani lemikne, then maybe it's a reyasa, because you should have written it once you write it explicitly. Yeshomrim delo amrinan ode to sofer to pirish ksasan mashakasav kasav mashalo kasav lo kasav. Right, that's a machlokas between the Mechaber, the Rama, whether Achrayas to HaSofer goes by what will be purchased afterwards by the Loveh. The Shachir Kedarko goes through that he says, Af she'ein talmen machriya ani achriya. Right, I'm going to say my opinion. He thinks the Rama is correct, that even what comes afterwards is subject. But that's, again, based on the Rishonim, but that's this sugya of Achrayas to HaSofer, how far does it go? How far does it go? Right, the Loveh, what difference from the Lokeach's point, of view, it doesn't make a difference. But the question is, from the Shibud point of view, the Shibud is created at the moment of the loan. So from the moment of the loan, what is Meshubit? Is there a Das to be Meshabit, stuff that I don't have yet? Or do we say that the Malviz Das is, that's the language that the Shach is, the Malviz Das is that he's giving this loan because he sees what the Loveh has right now. And that's enough for him in order to give the loan. He's not lending it based on, you know, what he thinks the Loveh might get. That's the language. I think the Shach quotes summarizes those we've shown him. He says, Kishaloveh okana hayadaitu ala nechasim shara ata eitzel aloveh o amocher shiyu mishubadim lo ava menechasim shiyikna achar kach iboy lelasnuye demhechi teisi neima shiyadaitu alayan shaharei, right, enam ata lefanath. That's what, right, from the, it's two different points. From the Lokeach's point of view, should it make a difference?
So from the Shas Piron, he has nothing left except something that he bought after the Shas.
By Shas Piron, so according to the Machaber, no. According to the Machaber, you wouldn't be able to be, to go collect that. Okay. Viter. Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya. Abaya says now, those, some might remember, we had this back a Masechta ago. Right, almost exactly Masechta ago, Daf Ches in Baba Kama. The next two cases came up there. Amar Abaya, once we're talking about Achrayas and transactions, so we have the following. Ruvain Shemachar Sadeh L'Shimon Ba'Achrayas. Ruvain sells a field to Shimon Ba'Achrayas. Again, Achrayas means if it comes out that it was stolen and it's taken from you, then I have to refund your money and take care of all your problems. So he sold it to Shimon Ba'Achrayas, Uba Balchov de Ruvain, Vikatar of Leminei, and then Ruvain's creditor, is now going to Shimon to take the property. And he's on his way there. Ruvain hears about it, and he quickly goes and stops his Balchov before going to Shimon. And he says, the Gemara says, Dinahu de Azal Ruvain u'mishtai dina bade. Ruvain has every right to stand up and be the Baldavar in a din Torah with his creditor. Velo Matzi Amarlein, his creditor can't say to him, La Baldavar didiyat, you don't have my land anymore. I'm not dealing with you, I'm dealing with the other guy. I'm dealing with Shimon. Why? Why can't the Baldavar say that? Why can't the creditor say that? De Amarlein, because Ruvain could say to him, De Mafkis Minei, Alai Hat Didi Hadar. Well, if you take it from him, then he's going to come back to me. So I just want to prevent you. I think your claim is wrong, and I want to prevent you from taking it from him. So I'm enough of a Baal Dover. I'm enough of a Baal Dover, says Reuven. Ika d'amrei, or one step even further. Afilu shalo b'achrayas nami, even if he has sold to Shimon without achrayas, meaning Shimon won't be able to come back to Reuven and get paid back, still Reuven could stand up and prevent. Why? D'amrei, lo nichali d'levi l'shimon taromas alai. I don't want Shimon to have complaints against me. You know, he's not going to be able to get money, but he's going to be very upset. So I'd rather, before you go to him, I'd rather stand up and fight you on this. And I am the Baal Dover. The stipler in Ksubis proves from this and other Gemaras that in order to be a Baal Dover, you have to be getting something out of it. Meaning, what happens if I just stand up and I fight your case for you? If I'm not a Baal Dover and I'm not appointed, we'll get to that in a second. Who said, right? What do we say to our children? Don't get involved in a machlokas that's not yours. Just stay out of it. It's not between you. Let them work it out. Right? Don't be a good Samaritan. They have to work it out themselves. So when in halacha are you called a Baal Dover or when not? The stipler in that piece in Ksubis and Siman Mem Gimel talks about a very interesting case. Halachically, there are a few cases in halacha where it's inherently unclear who's the Baal Dover because there are two people involved. When you have a daughter and a father. Ksubis discussions. When you have the father is Zoche, right? The Mishnah in Ksubis Dav Menvav, Ha'av Zakai Bebito, all the things, Bekesef, Kiddusheha, and the Mitzia, and all the Mishnah is there, Menvav, Memzai, Memches. So one of those is the Rambam, Machlokas Rambam Raivin, says, this is how the stipler starts off, and then he gets into our Gemara. Amra lo anasta osi. A woman says, you are ma'anes me. V'hu omer loki, ala patiti. No, it was Mefate, it wasn't Ones. What's the halacha? Motive Mixas. Shvuas Motive Mixas, because she's the Toveya, she's claiming Ones, which is extra payments, and he's admitting to Pitui. Right, so Motive Mixas, says the Ravid, ain't kan Shvuah. There's no Shvuah Daraisa there. The Ravid says the Shvuah Daraisa, Motive Mixas. The Ravid says no, because there's no Baal Dover there. The father's the Baal Dover, not the daughter. And for a Shvuah, you have the Baal Dover arguing. L'fishi ain't kan Toveya, shatashlumin ain't a Shalah. Goes to the father, says the Kesef Mishnah to defend the Rambam. Excuse me, Raivin, but you're right. Ultimately, it might go to the father, but who's the Baal Dover? Right? Is the Baal Dover the address of the money? Is the Baal Dover the one who's involved in the act? Again, this is the issue about that machlokas Rambam Raivin. She's obviously involved in the act. Does it go to her and then to the father? Does it go through her and you don't even acknowledge? Or she's the hechi timsi for it to go directly to the father? That's Rambam Raivin here. But at the end of that piece in Siman Mem Gimel and Ksubis, the stipler quotes our Gemara and then says Muchach from this last line about Taromes. Right? Why does the Gemara have to say that? He could claim because he could say, I don't want Shmuel Shimon to have tainas on me. Why can't he say, I could do it because I'm his friend? Why does he have to say, oh, I don't want to have tainus on me? Because to be a Baal Dover, you have to be getting something out of it specifically. Ilav sheyesh l'ruvein tzad hana'a b'din zeh, lehi nutzel me'achrayas o me'tar'omes, lo hayo lo koach ladun b'zeh ima balchov. You wouldn't have that power. Upashut, derak hacha matzi ladun, mishum shebe'emes ruvein hu abaldin, shehu hu amischaye bebezdin, mikom akam chazina, to call kam, delesle the ruvein shum nafkamina midinze, lo harvacha, velo minias hefsid, he won't be gaining, he won't be preventing a loss, lo matzi ladun amabal chobedinze, viemkinachanami, and then he goes back to talk about the daughter case. But this now, as many probably are thinking, relates to the other sugya that is related here by the Rishonim. There is a girsa. What's our girsa? Dinahu, it's appropriate that Reuven can say dot, dot, dot. There is a girsa of the Rif. Not a mefurish in that this is what the Rif means, but there's a girsa, they call it the girsa of the Rif. The Ritva, the Rashba, and others quote it. That is mashma that Reuven has to. He's chayiv. Not just he can, but he's chayiv to stand up. And the Ritva and the Rashba and others say no. He's not chayiv. Shimon's the real Baal Dover. Reuven could save himself if he wants to. But it's not chayiv, says the Ritva. Lo garsinon, dinahu aleha de Reuven de azil. Dim kein avi mashmash chayiv Reuven lasos kein. V'zeinu. It's not true. He can. See, if he can, then what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush then? If it's he has to, okay, you understand, that's a big chiddush. But if he can, what's the chiddush? Here's the ritva. V'had yitzrich omar, d'matzi ruvein l'shtahu yedina b'hadei, lo nitzricha ela afal gav, de lo manye, lo keach antler. The sugya of antler. We discussed this back in Bava Kama daf ayin. Shvuas daf lamed is the main sugya, but it comes up right here too. Lawyers. Antler. Can one appoint a lawyer in halacha? So we know there are tonim, lemaisa bezman hazeh, there are in the batei dinim. But where does this come from? The word antler does not appear in the Gemara, in the Bavli. Yushalmi discusses it. That's what the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ritva, Shvuas daf lamed, in the context of Shua Seidus, bring up the Yerushalmi that talk about antler. Are you allowed to appoint an antler? The Ritva says, yes. The Chiddush here is that Reuven can act on behalf of Shimon even without being appointed. That's the Chiddush of our Gemara. Dinahu, he's able to, even if he's not appointed. De'id b'deman ye antler, because says the Ritva, if he was appointed an antler, a lawyer, a toein pshita'a, a filunish da'alma, anybody could stand up. Anybody could be a stand-in if he was appointed. The chiddush here is, even if he wasn't appointed, but it affects him. And therefore he could do it. Tokai malon, because we hold, says the Ritva, Shaha nitva mimana atler, that a nitva can be mimana atler, like I wrote in Shavuos Das Lamed, and he quotes what he wrote in Sanhedrin. And he says, V'chein das mori. So too is the shita of my Rebbe. Right, I was just looking at the footnote. I was like, there's no, we don't have a Ritva on Sanhedrin. So he writes in the footnote. Right. Bikanja Rabbeinu Chibre Pirishal Sanhedrin. Below is Kiro Bikhidushe Bibukomos Rabim. Right. Vchen is Kiro. We don't have it. We don't have the Ritva on Sanhedrin. But anyway, so that's why I couldn't find it. But this is the Ritva Shita. The Ritva says, Antler even by a Nitva, who he's arguing on his grand Rebbe. The Ramban. This is Machlokas Gaonim. Everybody agrees that a Toveya could appoint an Antler. Can a Nitva appoint an Antler? That's the Machlokas Rishonim. The Ritva says, yes. The Chiddush of our Gemara is that even without the appointment, still, the Nitva, he could make it be a stand-in. The Ramban would never say that, because the Ramban says clearly, only a Toveya could appoint an Antler. Not a Nitva. Why? That's important for the Shlichus Sugyas, because a Toveya is doing something. If you're doing something, you're claiming something, you're trying to get something, then you can be a Shliach. But to just to be passive, the Nitva, no, you have to do it yourself. Right? That's the machlokas in the Rishonim, but it's important, it's right here. The Ritva makes that comment. Okay, and again, there's a lot more that we discussed in other contexts when this came up, but we'll leave it for now. The other point to mention, separate point, and then we'll move on to the next case, third to last line, is the Tosfos here. Tosfos in Dina asks, what's the nafkamina whether Reuven stands in for Shimon? Don't we have a principle of ta'aninon? Whatever we could claim on behalf of someone, Bezdin makes that claim. So what do we even need Reuven to stand in? Whatever Reuven could claim, Bezdin will claim on behalf of Shimon. So what's the big deal? Tema, says Tosas, my nafkamina, to kol ma sheyuchal liton Reuven, toein Shimon, toein Shimon, the toan in the lokeach. Tosas gives five answers, just in case we weren't happy with any of them. Tosfos here gives five answers. Number one, says Tosfos, well, what if Shimon says, oh, I have Edom I'm going to bring. And then after 30 days, he doesn't bring the Edom. So the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, once you say you're going to bring within a certain amount of time and you don't, tough luck, you can't bring anymore. But Reuven can bring the Edom. Only Shimon made that promise, not Reuven. Or what if, right, the most straightforward answer is, what if Reuven's a better talker? What if Reuven, he can make claims? He can talk. The second to last line of Tosfos. Kagon she Reuven pikeach ubal dvarim. He's a bal dvar. He knows how to talk. Oh, if Reuven agrees to go to a bigger bezdin, or if the bal chov is chayv shvuah daraisa to Reuven and not to Shimon, then you can be magalgal a shvuah on the bal chov of Reuven. There are Hechitimsis and Ukimtas that Tosfos brings up, why it would be better to have Reuven than to have Shimon. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. V'omar Abaya. Next case, this case also appears there in Baba Kama. Reuven Shemachar Sadel Shimon Shalabachrayas. Reuven sold Shimon a field without Achrayas. The Yatsu, meaning if it turns out to be stolen, so then he does not have to pay him back. You should have done your research. The Yatsu al Asikin, and then rumors started. Rashi, Orarin. Orin, right? Kamo his askuimo, right? By the Be'er. They named it Asek, because there were arguments. So Biazola Asikin, Achol Hechsikbo, before a Kinyan Chazaka is done on the property, then Yachol Achserbo, then he could get back out of it. Right? The buyer could say not interested. As long as he didn't do a Kinyan Chazaka yet, he could retract. Misha Hechsikba and Yachol Achserbo. But if he already did a Kinyan Chazaka, it's finished. He can't be Chozerbo. The transaction is done to Amar Lay, because the seller could say Chaisa Dekatri, a bag full of knots, Sabris Vakablis. You accepted, meaning it's tough luck on you. You should have done the research, and it was Shalom Bachrayis, and that's it. There's nothing more I could do. Me'e Mazhavi Chazaka. What is the Kinyan Chazaka? What do you have to do here? Michi Daish Amitsri. What does Daish Amitsri mean? That is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. He does something with the borders. We'll wait on that for a minute. Let's just read one more line. Vika da Amri, afilu bachrayis nami. Even if he sold the bachrayis, not the shalom bachrayis. Why? Da amar lei, because the seller can still say, afi tirfa v'ashalim loch. I'm not taking your money back. No. Show me the tirfa, which is the shtar from Bezin that they're going to take the property away from you, and then I'll pay you for it. Right? Until then, until they prove that it was really stolen, I'm not going back on this on the sale. Okay, there's a lot also in this little case, much discussed in the Rishonim, a little bit here, but mostly back in Bava Kamma. First of all, Yochel Achserbo. We're talking about Kinyan Chazaka here. Rashi says, top Rashi, Ubishelo Nosan Maos. He didn't pay for the land yet. He didn't pay for it yet. Why does Rashi say that? Pashas, because once you pay for the land, the case is done. You don't have to do a Kinyan Chazaka. Right? What does the Mishnah say in Kiddushin? Karka Niknes Bekesa B'Shtar B'Chazaka. So once you pay, it's done. So that's why you must be talking about a case where there was no money given. Tosfos says, it's printed on the bottom of the previous Amud, Tosfos says, okay, so then what's the Chiddush then? If you didn't give the money and didn't do the Chazaka yet, of course you could go back. There was no Kinyan yet. So you're right. Rashi would say, oh, you can't give the money because then it'll be wrong. Okay, but if you didn't give the money, then it's obvious. So says Tosfos, what's the case? I don't like either extreme. Says Tosfos on the bottom, Tema, Hechi Mairi, I gam lo nasan ma'os, like Rashi says, Pshita de yochel achserbo. Vi nasan ma'os, ama yochel achserbo. So which is it? If you gave the money, the kinyan's done. If you didn't give the money, it's obvious that until you do one of the other kinyanim, so it's not going to work. Number one. Question number two, unusual, says Tosfos. The Gemara says, what's the kinyan chazaka? We know what a Kinyan Chazaka is. There's a Mishnah in Balbasha. This is Beferish. No Gadur Aparats. You put up a fence. You lock something. The Mishnah says in Balbasha. What does the Gemara say? Daish Amitsri. You walk, you do something with the borders. Just quote the Mishnah in Balbasha. We know that, what that is. What's going on here? So all the Rishonim struggle here. What's the background of the case? So Tosfos quotes the Riva. Maybe he did a Kinyan Chalipin already. So a Chalipin is a Kinyan. He didn't get money. But you did a chalipin, which is a kinyan, as we've discussed. But, says Tosfos elaborates here, and even more in Bava Kamma, that the chazaka in the mish, in the Gemara here, is not a regular kinyan chazaka. That's not what we're referring to. Mishehechsik ba means, once you are machzik in it, that's not referring to kinyan chazaka. The kinyan was done in the form of, let's say, chalipin. But, there was an understanding that until you look around the field and make sure it's okay, you have veto power. You could go back. The Kenyan's done. You did a chalipin. But you're allowed to walk around. And once you walk around, so that's your last chance to be chozerbo on the previous Kenyan. But not that this is the Kenyan. That's why we don't quote the Gemara Baal Basra, because we're not talking about Kenyan Chazaka here. And that's why, that's the Chiddush of what is being discussed here. Right? The Rush explains it even a little more fully than Tosfos. The Rush here says, Ume'emas avi chazaka, pirish. What does that mean? Ezu chazaka shekavu chachamim lichazara. This is the Rush right here in Simin Lamed Ches. Right? Acharei shekvar kana b'kinyin sudar. O b'shtar, o b'chazaka, derafak bapurta. Maybe you did a real kinyin chazaka already. Maybe you dug something on the corner. You did a regular kinyin chazaka. Me'emas avi chazaka here is when the Rabbanim were misakein, that once you do something, there's no more ability to retract. When is that? That's Daish HaMitzri. You walked around the whole field, now you saw everything, now you finished. If you didn't retract by now, it's done. Shekach no'ago akonim. says the Rush. This was a minhag of the buyers. L'kayem ha-mekach la'alter be'echan min ha-kinyonim u'ma'akev ha-mo'os b'yado. It's like putting money in escrow. Right, we have it bizman hazeh. You give the money, but it's not fully, you know, like given out. The bank holds on to it until it's done. So ma'akev ha-mo'os b'yado ad she'yelech liros inyin hasada imhi ba'oso inyin she'amar lo ha-mocher u'mitoch she'nigmar ha-mekach yatsa lo kol and he continues. So that's a very important understanding of the Gemara. We're not talking about Kinyan Chazaka here. That's Tosfos, that's the Rush. Rashi is not so clear. Because Rashi doesn't just say walk around the borders, which is how Tosfos interprets the Dayish HaMitzri. Tosfos doesn't say it here, but Tosfos there in Baba Kama. Rashi here says on the third line, Misakin Gvule Hasada Umagbiam. Rashi seems to say you're physically doing something, which sounds like Kinyan Chazaka, not just walking around. So according to Rashi, you're going to have to work out a little bit differently the understanding of the Gemara. Okay, end of those discussions of Achrayus. Now we continue. Says the Gemara Itmar, fifth line. Case that we've been talking about. I sell a field to my friend, and it turns out that it's stolen. Stolen property. Rav Amar. We're going to go with Rashi's pshat of this Gemara. Tosfos has a different pshat. The other he showed him. We're going to go with Rashi's pshat of the Gemara. Rav Amar. Yesh lo ma'os, v'yesh lo shevach. There are three people involved here. We have the seller, the buyer, and the nigzal. The owner, the original owner of the property, the seller stole it from him. So, yesh lo ma'os. Rashi says, the buyer could go back to the seller, right, Rashi, yesh lo lilokeach min ha-mocher ma'os. You sold it to me, you stole it. Right, the real owner just took it away from me. I could go back to you, the seller, for my money back, and the yesh lo sheva. And if I appreciated this land, I could also take it from you. Rashi is bothered, shouldn't that extra come from the nigzal? Not from the seller. The nigzal got property back that was worth more. So shouldn't that come from the nigzal? So Rashi says it must be that after the mocher, the seller, the ganav, bought it, it depreciated. And then he sold it, and then the appreciation then just equalized what it was originally worth when it was stolen. Okay, but this is how Rashi reads the Gemara. Yesh lo mos v'yesh lo shevach, again, that the buyer could go back to the seller, I'm sorry, the seller, which is who is the ganav, and get what he's entitled to. Ushmuel Amar, Moz Yeshlo, Shevach Ein Lo. Shmuel says, no, the seller, Ganav, has to pay back the money, but he does not have to pay back the appreciation. Why not? We'll see. What if when he sold it, he explicitly wrote in the shtar, I will, if it turns out to be stolen, I'm going to give you back even your appreciation. Meaning, how fundamental is it that the seller does not pay back the extra appreciation money? Taima de Shmuel is the reason that Shmuel says you don't pay back the Shevach. Mishum de lo pirei shivcha, because it wasn't explicit. The hacha ha pirei shlan, here it is explicit. Right? Is it just a technical point? O dilma, no. Taima de Shmuel. Kiva de lesle karka, mechzi karibis. Let's think about this, says Shmuel. I sold you property, and it turns out, and you gave me money for it. You gave me money for that property, but it turns out that sale was totally not a sale. I had no rights. That land was not my land. So the land's going to go back. Meanwhile, I have your money. And it turns out I didn't buy it. I didn't sell you anything with this money. So I've been holding on to your money. And now if I pay you back Shevach also, I'm going to give you back more money than you gave me. That looks fishy. Right? I have money and it's never been mine really because the sale wasn't a sale. And now I'm going to give you back more? That looks like ribbis. That looks like interest, paying back more. So maybe that's Shmuel's reason why. And if that's true, so that even if you explicate it, it would not be allowed. Omar Le, so Rav Huna said, in Balav, Farafia Biyadeh. Sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no. It was weak. He didn't have a strong answer. Either way, what was Shmuel's reasoning? Itmar, but the following discussion of the Amaram is explicit. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Moz Yeshlo, Shavach, Ein Lo, Afa Pi, Shapir Shlo, Asa Shavach. Even though he said it explicitly, my taima, kiven the karka ain lo, schar ma'osav omid venotel. Since the karka is not his, so it ends up that the money giving back was just like a loan, and if you give back more, that's called schar ma'osav. That's another way of saying ribbis. Payment for having money, omid venotel, he's taking, and therefore it would be a problem of it will be a problem of ribis. Ribis is a huge topic, but as Beis Hashem, we'll get to in about 40 days, right? In the fifth parak, that is everything you want to know about ribis in Shas is there in the fifth parak in Ezeo Nashach. But just one line, because it comes up here, Rav Gusman in the Kuntres Shiurim has three approaches to why it is that I have to pay back ribis. I lent you money and you paid me back. It was all agreed upon. I gave you 5, you said you can give me back 10. Money makes money. So why do I have to give it back to you? Why? Is it A, gazel? It's stealing. Ha, the world doesn't think it's stealing, but the Torah says it's stealing. Is it mamish stealing? That's how we look at it, so I have to return it to you? A. B. No, says Rav Gusman in Shir Chavav. No, it's not stealing at all. After all, you gave it to me. Willingly. But why do I have to return it? Because the Torah is mechadesh, that there is a shibud. The Yesh Lomar Dechiyah v'shibud miyuchad itila atar ala malva. No, there's a shibud. There's no isser. There's no, it's not stolen money, but it is owed money. So is ribis stolen money? Is it owed money? Number 3, says Rav Gusman, maybe it's just mitzvah lahachzir. It's not even owed. You don't even say that. Do I owe tztaka? No, I have a mitzvah to give tztaka. Do I owe it? No. It's not subject to din mamon. Interesting, we'll have to see, where is Hilchas Ribis? Is it in Yaradeya or is it in Choshe Mishpat? That already could tip us off. Is it in Hilchas Malve Velove? Is it in Hilchos Gzela? So even just placement, we will see. There is a fascinating machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Just one source. The Ramban, in the mitzvahs that he says the Rambam forgot, right at the end of the Sefer Mitzvahs, number Yud Zayin. Mitzvah Yud Zayin, the Ramban counts a separate mitzvah of returning ribis. And he's bothered. Why doesn't the Rambam count that? You have to return ribis! So what's the answer? The Megillas Esther says, obvious answer, that's included in returning gezel. Hashavas gezela veshav gezela, so also returning ribis. What would the Ramban answer? No. Returning ribis is not like returning gezel. Which of the other two approaches? That's open. That is it number 2 or 3? So Rav Gusman says that's not clear. But at least that the Rambam holds its gezel and the Ramban not. Again, this is one of the main topics to discuss in ribis. For the Hashem, we will get to that in a couple of months. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Eisei Rava L'Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman as follows. Right, Rav Nachman just quoted Shmuel that you don't return Shevach because it looks like ribis. So we're about to quote a Mishnah that says you return Shevach. Ein Motzian. The Mishnah says in Gittin. Ein Motzian. La Achilas Peiris. When you're giving back for fruit that was eaten on a field. Ula Shevach Karkos. Or for appreciation of a field. We don't know what case that's referring to yet. That's the Gemara is going to ask that. Ula mazona isha. The man accepts to support his wife, mizonos. Vahavanos. Or for a daughter from a previous marriage, from his wife. He accepts to support them. You don't take out minachasim mishubadim from lean property, mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Because the Mishnah says these are not finite amounts of money, and therefore it's ein l'davar sof. The wife, the daughters could keep claiming and claiming and claiming, so that's why, only from Nechasim B'nei Chorin, from unleaned property. But what do you see from there? Mimeshavdihu de lo mafkinan, all of these are only excluded from Mishubadim. You don't collect Mishubadim, ha mibnei Chorin mafkinan, but from B'nei Chorin property that are in the person's Rishus himself, you do pay, meaning Shevach is paid. Viktani miyal l'shevach karkos. So what's the case of Shevach karkos? So we have no idea. What's discussing? The Mishnah just says, tikkun olam, when you pay back the appreciation. What case? So my love, couldn't that be talking about bilokeach migazlan? Our case, where stolen property was sold, and now it's the buyer going back to the mocher, the ganav, and you see, he has to pay back the shavach. So isn't that against Rav Nachman's pshat of Shmuel? That would be a problem of ribis. You shouldn't pay back the shavach. Says the Gemara, no. Doesn't have to be anything about that. Lo, but Balchov. Maybe we're just talking about a Balchov. We're talking about somebody who lends money and his property is Meshubid. So a regular Balchov goes and collects. So there's no problem there. There's no undermining of the original sale. The sale was a good sale. So it's not going to look like ribis. The money giving back, the money that the person got, doesn't turn into money that now you're adding on that would look like ribis. Says the Gemara, Iba Balchov. If that Mishnah is about a Balchov, Se'ema Reisha, but what about the other line in the Mishnah then? Ein Motzien L'Achilas Peros. You don't allow, you don't take out for Achilas Peros. Viva Balchov, Balchov mi Islei Pere. Does a Balchov get Peros anyway? Does a Balchov, can he collect from fruit? Again, what are we talking about a Balchov? Ruvain owes Shimon money. And Ruvain does not have enough money to pay back Shimon. So Shimon goes to people that bought fields from Ruvain. So they take those fields from Ruvain's buyers. They cannot take fruit that are already ripe from those fields. That's what's going on here. Ubalchov, mi islay peiro, could a Balchov take peiros? Of course not. Varmer Shmuel. Balchov go vesa shevach. Shevach in aval peiros lo. You can't accept peiros, right? The acronym explained because peiros are like metaltalin. Metaltalin and not meshubah to a Balchov. So it can't be talking about a Balchov in that context. So El Apshita goes of an exile. The Peros line has to be talking about a Ganav Goslin case. Umidaresha goes of an exile. Sevanami goes of an exile. If the Peros line is talking about goes of an exile, shouldn't the Shevach line also be talking about goes of an exile? Isn't it the same type of case? Answers the Gemara, no. Midi Arya, do you have to say that? Hakadisa, Hakadisa. You could say the Mishnah is talking about two different cases. And again, the Shevach line is only talking about a regular Balchov case. Says the Gemara, Volotani Achi, doesn't work, because we have the following Brisa that says a Beferish. A Shevach case, and Ganef and Goslin. Or Goslin. The Shevach Akos case that, Hareshid Gozal, Sodom Echadeir of Ari Yotzim Itachas Yado, I stole a field, and now it's mine, Kishu Gove, Govas a Keren, Minachasim Mishubadim, the Shevach Gove, Minachasim Nechorin. Shevach. Shavach is going to collect. So, Hechidami, what's the case here of this Brisa? Ile Mekidiktani, is it as it is written, meaning only two people involved? The Brisa explicitly only has two people involved. A Goslin steals a field, and now he has to pay up. So, if that's the case, Goslin Miman Gavi. So, there seems to be something missing. You need three people, because you're talking about who the Goslin is going to collect from. So there seems to be something missing in the Brisa. So El Olav, isn't the Brisa talking about the following case? Kigon Shegazal Sadam Echavera Umachra La'achar Vishbicha. Isn't it talking about our case? Because after all, the Brisa has to mean something. Answer, Amar Le'lav, Tirutze Kamet Ratzta. Didn't you just explain that the Brisa is obviously missing some words? So once you have to explain it anyway, and it's a corrupt Brisa as it is, I'll change it to fit into our Shita. Tiritznami B'Valchov. Meaning this, you don't have to explain the Brisa talking about a case of Goslin where the Shevach will be paid up, which would then be a kasha on Rav Nachman's Pshat of Shmuel, who Rav Nachman says Shmuel would say, you never pay the Shevach also, because that would look like ribis. So you say it's talking about a case of Balchov, it's not talking about a case of Goslin, and therefore there is no problem here with any type of ribis. And the Rashba just adds in here, and you can also say that we're talking about peros that are still connected, that aren't ripe yet. That could be another answer, because that would not be called peros. That would be karka. Peros mean fully ripe peros that are ready to be cut off, and not ripe peros that still need the karka wouldn't be called peros, so you wouldn't be able to give that answer either. Okay, we'll have to stop here. By Tashma, by Hashem, we'll continue next time with Bamitzia Daf Tesvav.